You're listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast, recorded at the BVA headquarters with your hosts, Troy McClain and Tommy Ahlquist. Each episode is focused on shedding new light on different perspectives to create dialogue that inspires excellence.
Hey, everybody, this is Troy McClain and Tommy Ahlquist, and welcome back to another special episode that we're doing daily of the Inspire Excellence Idaho. We have a personal friend and a special guest that's going to walk us through exactly what happened. And Tommy and I are going to share our stories of what we went through yesterday. Larry Gebert, how you doing, brother?
Good, Troy. It's good to talk to you. I appreciate the opportunity, and thanks to both of you for making this time available. I think that the more information we get out, the better chances we have of kind of calming everyone's fears out of this situation.
Amen, Larry. I'll tell you what. Two things I got to tell you really quick. First of all, you know, we're Channel 7 addicts, and when I got home yesterday, because I was at the office, me and Troy were together in a meeting. We're having a meeting, a physically distant meeting, but at the office. It happens, and we dive under the table together. And,
oh, yeah.
But then my family is freaked out. My mom and my mother-in-law were in an earthquake down in Utah, and they were at the epicenter 2 weeks ago. So I got in my car and drove straight down there to their house, and I was in their house when that aftershock happened, the 4.8, and it scared me to death.
Yeah.
So then now to yesterday, Larry, I race home to be with my family, and when I get there, I'm getting to the point here. You were on the TV, and thank you for always having a calming influence. So immediately we walked in our living room, and there's our entire family watching you talk us through this. So immediately I thought, hey, Troy, we got to get Larry on because you are a calming voice. You have such knowledge. So what we wanted you to walk us through today, what happened, why we shouldn't be so anxious, and help the people out there.
Sure, no problem. Let me give you a little bit of background. I mean, a lot of people wonder, why are you talking to a weather guy about plate tectonics and volcanic activities and earthquakes and things like that? The truth is, my meteorology degree is in earth science. And so we study all earth science.
What?
And so while it's a specialty in meteorology, but it's an earth science degree. And so we actually extensively study geology and volcanism and plate tectonics. And so there's quite a bit that we learn out of that. And I'll admit at the time that I was going through the course, I'm thinking, why do I need all this? Well, here's the answer. You know, it's like any other college curriculum. All right. Well, so last night, this particular area, and I'm glad that you've listed this as being close to Stanley, because a lot of people try to equate this to the Bora Peak quake that was October 28, 1983 at approximately 8:05 in the morning. Okay. And that one was actually a lot closer to Challis and Mackey. So we started saying, there's another one in the area of Challis. But the truth is, it's actually, if you were to draw a line between Challis and Cascade, it's almost exactly halfway. So in other words, it's about 45 miles from each one of those spots. However, when you look at Stanley, it's about 23 miles to the west northwest of Stanley. So this is a lot closer. Historically, there has been some other earthquake activity in this area at almost the same spot. There was one in 1941, and there was another one in 1944 earthquakes. Now, the exact size or at that time, we didn't have all the same calculations and scales and stuff that we have now. In other words, we weren't able to plot that one quite as well. But they've got ideas about the size of that. It's not actually on a fault line. Now, the Bora Peak one is a fault line. The one in Utah is also a fault line. That one in Utah, to back up to that one for a second, that's actually been a pretty active fault line area for a while, and many of the experts have said it's pretty much overdue for something. So when something does happen like that, it's not so much of a surprise, except for the actual event and the timing of it. And if we and even having one that we did on the Bora Peak one at the time, everybody said it had been overdue for a while. This particular area is really interesting because we haven't really identified it as a fault line area, but we have had some seismic activity in there.
Larry, let me tell you, this is phenomenal information, and I'm going to back you up and give you it. So for those listeners that are listening, yesterday, because some people don't even know, yesterday there was an earthquake in the state of Idaho that Boise got affected in some areas. And I want to give you why your voice of calm and why your voice of fact is so important. Tommy, me, and these other people, as he said, are in a meeting in his office. And I'm going to give you some quick punchlines that were super funny. I've lived in Alaska, and so Alaska is just constant earthquakes and constant tremors. So as a kid, we actually went through earthquake training all through grade school and junior high. Like, you trained on what to do. Sure. So I'm sitting in this office and I feel it, and it's a nanosecond. I'm like, hey, I know what this is. It's an earthquake. I turn into like drill sergeant, dude. And I'm like, everybody under the tables, everybody under the tables. Get under the tables. I know what to do. I remember from sixth grade. And then Tommy looks and makes everybody feel so perfect. He goes, guys, I built this building to survive anything.
There you go. Which is really good. All right. Well, then let me give you a quick aside, because you sound like me when I talk about global thermal nuclear war. I'm old enough that I was one of the children who climbed under my desk whenever there was an air raid siren.
Yes.
I grew up in Great Falls, Montana. I know, Troy, you spent a lot of time in Montana as well. But I grew up in Great Falls. Malmstrom Air Force Base was a huge facility. And in the 60s, of course, they put all the nuclear weapons, the Titan missiles, the Minuteman missile systems, and the control center is all buried in the ground in Montana somewhere. You know, and it's all secretive and everything. But we used to have air raid sirens every day at noon. And we would all automatically climb under our desk. 15 minutes later, they would send off the sirens again as an all clear. And then we were allowed to do that. Well, because that happened, teachers didn't want to disrupt too much of the education process. So we'd sit underneath our desk and we would eat our lunch. The problem is, now an air raid siren goes off and I get a craving for an egg salad sandwich.
What?
It's true. I feel like Pavlov's dogs in some way.
Oh, so Larry, so Alaska was the same way, because it was Elmendorf Air Force Base.
Sure, yeah.
And so we went through earthquake training, and we went through like nuclear bomb training.
Sure, yeah.
We had to go through. Larry, I'm so glad you're sharing that. People don't realize that when you get preconditioned for that, man, it went into AutoZone. Well, let me ask.
It goes into automatic mode. Yeah, the first thing I did was I just started looking around at all the ceilings in my house. I mean, my wife is in the bathroom, and she goes, what is that? She's screaming from the bathroom, and I said, just hang on, you're safe where you are. You know, and I started looking around, and I thought, nothing's cracking, everything. I says, I'm going outside. She goes, why? I says, because I need to look at the foundation. You know, I want to go make sure that everything's going to be okay.
Hey, Larry. Yeah. This is where the calming, reassuring Larry Yeppert comes in. So for everyone out there let's back up a little bit. We're in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah.
A lot of people are out of work. A lot of people are home, and there's a lot of anxiety, Larry, with a lot of folks.
There is, you know what? And I've been reading a lot of stuff on social media. People are trying to piece this together on a biblical proportion. And it's really more coincidental than anything else. You know, I mean, this coronavirus, of course, is scary, because the two major factors about this, and I know, Tommy, with your medical background, you could fill this in on this too, but it's really because we don't exactly know everything about this, is number one. And the information seems like it's changing every half hour. And the other side of this is that we don't have a vaccine or a cure. So like the flu is also can be very deadly to people and can spread very rapidly. At least we have some sort of a vaccine that can help prevent it or lessen the effects, and we also have some treatment for it that can actually help people to survive. It still does take a lot of lives every year, but this one is not into that category yet. Once it gets into that category, it's going to be another one of those things like SARS or some of the others, because those are actually related to, as you know, to the coronavirus as well, because they are a type of coronavirus.
Yeah, so Larry, there are a lot of unknowns with coronavirus, and I think we're all taking it seriously because of those unknowns. Now, on top of that, you have an earthquake. Now, can you please calm? So anyone listening out there today that's really worried about, okay, we had the, can you give us the statistics and facts on, okay, we had the one, how likely is it now to have another big one? How likely is it to have aftershocks? Should we worry about those? Let use your science to help calm us that this thing's probably done for a few years now.
Well, actually, in terms of aftershocks, let's take this the small steps at a time first. The aftershocks, we're going to have a lot of aftershocks. However, they're going to reduce. They're going to get less and less and less. That's fairly typical. And in fact, we've already had some 37 aftershocks since this happened, and we had another 4 or 5 this morning alone. But yet you didn't feel them. Number one, we're about 80 miles away from the epicenter here in the Boise area. But even the folks closer, they might feel a little tremble. Those are the kind of things that for those who have been in active areas like Troy's talking talking about Alaska, or if you've been in California for some of these, you do the aftershocks will still make you nervous every time, but eventually that gets better. The chances of another big one or something larger here is really remote. It's like less than 4% is what the experts, the seismologists are telling us. And actually, we have an event, something like this, roughly about every 20 or 30 years. And if you think about the last real big one that we had was the one that was at Mackey. That was 1983. So that's actually outside of that 30-year range. In fact, we did have one in Wells, Nevada. There was one down in Utah. They're not related. That's not part of the same. Huh. They're not connected. So one doesn't necessarily trigger another one or create anything like that. So really the science behind this is just that something moved, like something just is moved underneath the Earth's crest. And right. it's much the fact that you have to remember that we're not a dead rock in space. The planet is not. It's a living planet. And as something moves, something else is going to shift on top of it. And that's what creates that earthquake effect.
Larry, let me ask you this, and it may be a coincidence. It may just be in my head. Do weather patterns change or match when there is a seismic activity? I just, when I looked outside and reminisced and went back to my childhood state, literally I've been in like 36 tremors or earthquakes. It always seemed that there was some type of overcast. It always seemed that there was some type of disruption in the weather pattern. Is that just quinky dink, or is there some science behind that?
I'm afraid that one's all in your head, Troy. Because the only thing, and people will try to put those kinds of things together. The only other natural occurring effect out of an earthquake is one that happens in the ocean, which creates a tsunami. That's also not weather. But that can have an effect on weather because of the fact that it does change sometimes the currents of the ocean. And we know that any disruption in some of the currents of the ocean can at least have a small or a simple effect on the weather and changing a pattern, a high pressure pattern, a low pressure pattern, because weather does develop over large bodies of water. The largest body of water on the planet is the Pacific Ocean. That's why we know that nearly all big weather conditions actually start and end with the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing, and I just want our viewers and listeners to kind of pay attention to this. And again, what a brilliant opportunity, Larry. You have certainly brought calm to a lot of angst that has already had at a heightened level because of the coronavirus. So first of all, the odds of it happening again at that level are near to none. Mm-hmm. The common occurrences that happen afterwards are the aftershocks, but they're less and less. There's a lot of perception out there. And we want to separate the myths from the facts. I want to segue both you and Tommy into this next question, which is another potential myth or fact. They talk about animals being able to kind of sense this and feel this. And Alaska, and Montana, by the way, so I have deep roots in Montana, but my father lived in Alaska. So all of us were told, like, the animals will know. I get home yesterday. I'm like, hey, honey, how are the dogs? They're like, they don't give a crap. They're just fine.
You know, there are certain phenomena, and one of them is not so much the dogs, but the cats. But consider animals and how much we use them for. Right now, they're actually training dogs to be able to sense through smell people who might be COVID-19 positive. They're actually training dogs for that right now. That's actual happening. That's actual science. And dogs are so good at that, but their cats do seem to be far more sensitive. And I know a lot of people the last few days have been telling me that their cat will just kind of come into a room and just start meowing at them even right before this happened, you know, even just like a short time. And there is some documentation to certain animals, and cats are one of those, that will just kind of get a sense that something isn't quite right. It's almost like they can feel it before it actually happens, or they're so sensitive they picked up something that is unusual to them. Mm-hmm. And I know we think most of the time that all a cat does is, you know, sit around and sleep and occasionally want to be petted, fed, and go outside. You know, I mean, other than that.
Yeah.
So here's another funny story aside. So my father-in-law, you know that story, we build a zoo?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so he kind of has that in his backyard. So I've never told you this, but
what?
He raises exotic pheasants and birds and has literally dozens and dozens of species. He has an emu and all sorts of other things. And then he has deer. Like these deer that are these smaller, I don't even know what variety of deer they are. But when I went down to their house to help them put things back together, so their earthquake, just so you know, with them, they were at the epicenter, literally. and it was only 5.7, I think, Larry. 5.7, but he was sitting in his chair. It threw him off, and literally the entire house was in shambles. Everything was off the walls. The furniture was tipped over. But those deer, the entire time I was there, because we just drove down and helped him clean up the house and kind of came straight back that day. But the entire time, the deer were freaking out, running around the backyard. And he said that it happened just before it came, and then it never stopped. They were just – so I think there is something to that. I'm sorry your dogs are not as sensitive, but they're probably so spoiled. a McLean dog really can't be compared.
I've also known friends who have raised horses and been in active areas where they have had something like that. And the horses are incredibly sensitive too. And then it has very hard for them to settle themselves back down. You know, much the same as even people, a lot of people were having a hard time settling themselves down, you know, just to kind of explain one of the things. I mean, you know, when we had the earthquake, obviously at 5:53, I felt it. And I thought, you know, the first thing I did was I turned on the TV just to see what kind of coverage might be happening, because I thought I might be able to help. I don't live very far from the station, which is fortunate. And because of the coronavirus, Rick Lance is working from home. And I thought, I need to go in. So they didn't call me to come in. I just went into the station. And
just
I
thought intuitively.
I'd get in. And if nothing else, I thought I at least could build a map, or I could build some sort of a graphic that would help Rick explain this. But because he was, you know, at his home and wasn't even able to see what I was building, then I just stepped in, and then Mark Johnson and I just kind of talked and had that that opportunity to explain.
Why do some people, Larry, literally yesterday, like I did the same thing that Tommy did. I mean, I got a compliment again, just go out of the way and compliment the structure and the teamwork, literally doing that. Okay. So, you know, we all go into crisis mode because of the coronavirus. We're working on finding opportunities and enlightenment for others. Then this earthquake hits. And as champions, man, everybody just goes, let's check on everybody. Let's do this. And now we disperse and go on our way. But as I'm calling some of my friends, they literally are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Why did we feel it and others didn't?
Well, sometimes it depends upon circumstances. Even when I stepped outside, one of my other neighbors came out. He goes, wow, that was really so. What was that? Was that an earthquake? And I said, yes, it was. Somebody else is out walking with their wife in the neighborhood coming down the street. And they said, what are you talking about? They're walking along. They didn't even notice it while they were walking. Sometimes I think that it just depends upon, you know, how still you are, where you are, if you're in it. Sometimes buildings, except, of course, the one that Tommy built that's so incredibly strong, nothing will happen. Other buildings will move under those circumstances, you know, and taller buildings, you know, obviously there's a real factor that architects in certain, you know, areas that are prone, like California, have really worked to try and develop a structure that can survive even a large earthquake. But there's always going to be movement in a building. And I know that you guys do build things like that. You understand that on any given day, there's going to be some movement in that building. Yeah. That just happens. Well,
And to add that a little bit, Larry, you know, wherever you're building a building, the code, the building code is set up for that region. So if you're building a six-story building in Salt Lake City, that the seismic code for that building is going to be different. And then the architects build it to a different standard than here. And they're all designed to move a little bit. Hey, Larry, before we let you go back to work, just a little personal now, just tell us how you're doing. I know, again, everyone relies on you, you know, in the mornings. I don't know how many years we listen to you, and you're remote now. You work for KTVB, an incredible company that's, I know Kate is doing so much right now for the community. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about personally how you're doing, and then how your company's doing, and then we'll let you go. But give us an update.
Well, I'm doing well. I'm doing just fine. And, you know, a lot of us are really, you know, trying to follow the governor's orders and work from home. But we can't, we work in a business where we can't have every single person working from home, you know, because just in case technology should fail us, we still want to make sure that we're here to give the message out. And so far, our management has decided on keeping me in the building. So I'm one of those that you know, it's another reason I responded last night, because I knew that it was okay for me to come, because I'm one of those who been designated to come into work each day and to do my job. And if needed, can be called upon to come in for something like that, because, you know, technology can fail us. And so we still want to make sure that we're giving information for people, even if it's just the weather. I shouldn't say just the weather, that's my life. But I mean, with the information that we're bringing forth. So there are certain people who will be here in the building that we just can't get away from. And so, like, say, last night, even Mark Johnson and I have been friends for a long time. So I knew that he was happy that I came in, because I could at least, the two of us could at least work with each other as a team. And we're a big team here. And even all four of us meteorologists are a team, because even though Bree Eggers has been working from home, she was actually making suggestions to help me create some of the stuff that I did yesterday, just to kind of help explain things better too.
Hey, Larry, let me get real personal on a real personal beef of mine that's been there for two decades. Here we go. Why is Rick Lance the chief meteorologist and not you? It's always bothered me.
Well, number one, he's worked here a lot longer than I have. Okay, he's worked here for more years than I have. He actually goes back to when Dee Sarton started here, and she's retired now.
Really? Yeah.
So he's been here longer, and it's not necessarily a designated title. It's like when they used to say that, for a while everybody got really excited about the AMS, the American Meteorological Society. This person's weathercast has been approved by the American Meteorological Society. I just wanted to seriously, as a spoof, say Larry Gebert's weather report is approved by Mother Nature herself, just to be funny. Because sometimes the marketing stuff just seems kind of silly. It's a marketing thing. And I know you guys can understand and appreciate marketing. I mean, look at Troy McClain. Who knows better about marketing than he does?
That is true.
I saw him riding a bicycle trying to sell water for Donald Trump.
Let me say this. First of all, Larry, you are now the official Inspire Excellence Chief Meteorologist.
Podcast.
Yeah. So we made that. And by the way, you don't have your video screen up, so you can't see that Tommy was just ribbing you.
Hey, I was just kidding. Listen, Larry, we love and appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking all time out of your incredibly busy schedule. We'll get this out and hope it helps people.
No problem.
Thank you.
Pleasure to talk to you. Thank you, guys.
And Larry, we appreciate you. Keep inspiring excellence throughout Idaho. Thanks very much.
All right.
You've been listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast. We invite you to find something that inspires you this week. Join us again for our next episode.